All rise. The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are here this morning on case 13-465, State of Ohio, ex rel. Jack Morrison, Jr., Law Director, City of Monroe Falls, Ohio, et al. Versus Beck Energy Corporation. For the appellant, we have Mr. Houlihan.
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Tom Houlihan, here on behalf of the appellant, the City of Monroe Falls. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. I apologize in advance, I'm just getting over a cold, so I'll try to keep my voice up, but I'll do my best. The City of Monroe Falls would like to ask this court to support the traditional role of zoning, which allows cities to plan for orderly growth, by holding that the oil and gas statute operates in parallel to local zoning, so that the city designates what land is available for oil and gas production, and the state controls the methods of that production. Preemption is disfavored if there's any way to read a statute and an ordinance in harmony. And here, with respect to the zoning ordinance that's at issue in Proposition of Law 1, it's entirely possible to read the state oil and gas statute in harmony with the local zoning ordinance. And I have 3 points in support of that proposition. Number one, the ordinance and the statute regulate different subject matters. Number two, the oil and gas statute does not expressly purport to preempt local zoning. And number three, in those circumstances, when there is legislation and local ordinance on the same subject matter, this court has held that the state permitting and local zoning can exist in parallel. On the first point, and this is the key point, this court has held in the Fondacy case that home rule authority is only limited by general laws in conflict therewith upon the same subject matter. Therefore, if the state statute and local ordinance are on different subject matters, the two may be harmonized. Here, at issue in Proposition of Law 1 is Monroe Falls Local Zoning Ordinance 1163.02. It is a zoning ordinance. It's a land use planning tool for the city. It is not specific to oil and gas drilling or oil and gas drillers.
Counsel, how is your argument consistent with the language in the statute that speaks specifically to permitting, location, and spacing?
The 2010 version of the statute, which is at issue in this case, says the division has sole and exclusive authority to regulate, doesn't say determine, it says regulate the permitting, location, and spacing of oil and gas wells. What it doesn't say is that language and that power is excluded from the municipalities.
Even though the language says sole and exclusive?
It says sole and exclusive as to the regulation of those issues. And
so regulating location is different from determining location?
It's certainly not as precise language that could be used. And if we look at the authority that's relied upon by Beck Energy, in every other case, cases such as Clermont, Westlake, Canton versus State, the state has used, in the language of the state statute, express language referencing local zoning. If the state seeks to preempt local zoning, it can attempt to do so, but it must use express language to do so. Otherwise, this court will be looking into creating a new test for creating an implied preemption test, which is not currently recognized by this court. I imagine that would lead to a great deal of additional litigation to determine what the scope of this implied preemption test
counsel,
would be.
What does regulating mean to you? If you're going to regulate the location, let's just talk about that. What does that mean?
The regulation in context in this case, if the authority for the state to put forth that statute comes from Article 2, Section 36 of the Ohio Constitution, which empowers the state to, quote, open, engage in the regulation of the methods of oil and gas extraction. So reading this statute as it flows from its grant of constitutional authority.
That's regulating extraction or regulating the method. I'm asking you, what does regulate the location mean?
Regulate the location, as applied in this case, means regulate the methods of oil and gas extraction at a site, once the site is allowed by the city.
Your point is that the two ordinance and the statute can be looked at harmoniously. Is that your position, that the city can determine the siting as far as the location under the zoning of the municipality, and then when you get to the regulation of the wells themselves, the location and the technical specs of the oil and gas drilling, that's a matter for the state?
That's more or less what the argument is, although with respect to the city's power is only to say drilling is available in these districts according to our zoning code, and within those districts the state controls the details of the drilling operation.
That, if you could get explain the three types of ordinances that you were talking about here, because that's one of the things, you know, we talk about conflict or whether you're intruding on what the state is allowing or not allowing. Tell us what the ordinances are that are being challenged here.
Well, Your Honor, there are two different types of ordinances that are at issue in the two different propositions of law that we have set forth. With respect to the second proposition of law, those are oil and gas ordinances that the City of Monroe Falls has promulgated. There's no question those are on the same subject matter as what the state is regulating, so a full preemption test applies. You go through the Canton versus state analysis, and you get into issues of whether or not there's general law. But not with respect to the first proposition of law, which is just a zoning ordinance. The first proposition of law, in the Ninth District, Ninth District said the entire zoning ordinance, the driller doesn't have to comply with. And our argument is that because the topic is zoning, not oil and gas, it's not on the same subject matter. Now, there are cases where the state has reached outside of the subject matter it's regulating and expressly preempted zoning. For example, in Canton versus state, there's mobile home statute that said, and by the way, local zoning can't affect the operation of the statute. Same thing in
this case. Didn't the Ohio Department of Natural Resources determine the location for the drilling?
That's their position, and that's the way it has worked so far.
Where do you think that the Ohio Department of Natural Resources said the drilling could be undertaken?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Did the Department of Natural Resources designate a location for the drilling?
In this case, they issued a permit for a particular location.
What
in
was
the city
that
of Monroe
location?
Falls.
What was that location?
That location was on a private homeowner's lot in an R3 zoning district in the city of Monroe Falls, medium density residential.
Was there a site survey done?
Yes, by the ODNR.
Okay. And the city of Monroe Falls doesn't want it to be there. Where does the city of Monroe Falls want it to be?
Well, we never even reached that point because the driller took the position that they didn't have to comply with any of our regulations.
I thought you answered Justice Lanzinger by saying there was a designated drilling location.
There are industrial zones in the city of Monroe Falls on the map and in the zoning code, but they never even filed an application.
So the only drilling that could be done, in your view, would be in an industrial zone?
That's where it's a conditionally permitted use.
Okay, how does that harmonize, then, with what the Ohio Department of Natural Resources has done? Because your argument is that these two regulations, the state statute and the ordinance, can be harmonized.
Right.
How can they be harmonized if one is drilling in a residential location and you're in an industrial location?
The only way they can be harmonized is if this court reins in the ODNR's practices. They have interpreted the statute to mean that they are the sole and exclusive.
Who has interpreted the statute?
The ODNR. They're granting permits for locations without any regard to whether or not the driller has complied with local zoning. And our position is that it's a dual conditions issue, just like in the Sheffield versus Roland case, where the driller has to comply with local zoning and they have to have a permit from the state. In Sheffield versus...
And you think that's the intent of the General Assembly?
I believe it is. It's expressed
in
the language.
Or you think it's mandated by the Home Rule Amendment of the Constitution? Which is it?
I believe it's the intent of the General Assembly, because the intent of the General Assembly is found in the language they use in the statute. If the General Assembly intended to preempt local zoning, they had every opportunity to put language like that in the statute. They've done it in a number of different statutes we cited in our brief. There is no express preemption of local zoning in this statute.
So your argument is that the Department of Natural Resources has usurped the authority of the zoning, local zoning, and the General Assembly intended local zoning to determine location for drillers.
Well, that's only based upon the way they've interpreted the statute. They're granting permits for locations without considering local zoning.
I'm trying to understand what your argument is.
My argument is that there are dual conditions that a driller must comply with.
Where do you find the authority for the dual regulation?
Sheffield versus Rowland. In Sheffield versus Rowland, this court considered a state-licensed waste processing facility.
I thought you said it was coming from the General Assembly.
Well, yes, but I'm having trouble following the question. I apologize. Okay.
Your argument is that the General Assembly has mandated that there be a local determination of situs, but the Department of Natural Resources has taken it upon itself to determine the location for the wells.
Well,
the
driller asks.
I'm trying to understand your argument. Is that your argument?
No, Your Honor. My argument is this, that if a driller wants to drill in a particular location, they have two things to do. Number one, they have to go to the ODNR and get approval from the ODNR for that site location, and it must be done in compliance with local zoning.
And that's by a state statute that says that has to be done that way?
No. The state statute doesn't say anything about local zoning. The Home Rule Amendment gives cities the power to regulate local zoning. And under Sheffield versus Rowland, in similar circumstances, this court has held that there are dual conditions for someone to comply with.
All right. So you want us to follow Sheffield in this case?
That's correct.
So I think I came in thinking I knew your argument, and now I don't.
All right.
It seems to me, in response to Justice O'Donnell, aren't you more troubled by the word exclusive tied together with the word location?
I'm not troubled by it at all, Your Honor, because
Let's suggest for a moment that I am.
All right.
And the problem that I see is this statute ignores local zoning, says that the state can ignore home rule, can ignore local zoning, and I have to admit that, you know, I'm from Geauga County, and we have a rather precise history here where the local community did not want drilling in a residential neighborhood. They got drilling in a residential neighborhood, and a house was blown off its foundation, and the neighborhood ceased to exist as we knew it. So are you not challenging the constitutionality of the word exclusive and location?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think we even need to get to that point because,
as
I've
said. That's a no? You're not challenging that?
If the court determines that a preemption analysis is triggered, which I don't think it is, then yes, the constitutionality is in question. But the preemption analysis is not even triggered here because I would disagree with your assessment that the oil and gas statute expressly preempts or says anything about preempting local zoning. It's silent on local zoning. It doesn't say it.
I'm using the two words in the English language, exclusive and location.
Right.
If the state is given exclusive control over the location of a building, a structure, or a well, isn't zoning gone?
No, Your Honor, because the language has to be read in context. This oil and gas drilling statute flows from Article 2, Section 36 of the Ohio Constitution, which gives the state the power to regulate the methods of oil and gas extraction. And if you look at what the ODNR has said about the location and spacing of wells, it's found in their regulations at Ohio Administrative Code 1501-9104. It talks about geology, talks about pooling of mineral interests, talks about site safety setbacks. Doesn't talk about zoning or any of the traditional concerns of zoning. So I believe that the court can reasonably read the language in Chapter 1509 to say that this regulates the methods of oil and gas extraction. In other words, the city makes what land is available within the city for oil and gas drilling, and the state controls the methods of how the wells are drilled in that land.
Counsel, before your time expires, there are two very legitimate interests competing in this case. The zoning and the Home Rule amendments that you're here to support. My question focuses on how far can zoning go? Could your town, your client, or a township, we have zoning in a number of townships, could they zone out the drilling of wells entirely?
No, Your Honor. I think that's been answered conclusively in both the Sheffield and Newberry cases. If a city undertakes what's not a bona fide zoning code.
So if we agree with your analysis and approach, do we have to then look to see whether or not the zoning in question is reasonable?
No, Your Honor, I don't think you reached that issue, at least not in this case, because we never got to that point. The driller did not submit a zoning application. The site plan review was never triggered. They simply took the position they could go ahead and drill.
But in this case, if they got to that point, this particular location would not qualify for an oil well in your community. Is that right?
From the records, it was never determined, but it's an R3 district. No, it's not. It would not.
Okay. And what percentage of the town would be open for drilling, do you know?
I know there are at least two industrial zones. I don't know the size of those in relation to the rest of the city. But the point is, in the Newberry case, that was the issue, and in Sheffield. In those cases, the cities and townships tried to use some clever zoning to completely eradicate a use that was not
and
desired.
And this particular property is how large?
Oh, I don't know. It was part of a pool. They pulled together a number of properties. It's a residential lot. It's a largish residential lot, but I don't know how big it is.
In your brief, you mentioned several states where there are two processes, where the state and the local zoning areas operate in parallel. Are there any states where solely there's one, I mean, where there's express preemption and then the state is the only one that regulates as far as location?
I believe Alaska is that way, but beyond that, I wouldn't know.
But
sure,
Texas, Louisiana, Colorado are all taking the position that local zoning can operate in addition to the state regulation.
Correct. Texas, California, Wyoming, it's by design and by judicial decision. The same arguments advanced by the oil and gas industry here were rejected in Colorado, Louisiana, Oklahoma, New York, and most recently Pennsylvania. And what that teaches us, not that we follow the laws of other states, but that the effective exploitation of oil and gas does not require trammeling local zoning. Texas is a great leader in that sort of production, and that's the way it's built into their system.
Counsel, is there any opportunity to appeal the granting of a permit at the Department of Natural Resources?
The granting of a permit is not appealable by somebody opposed to it, but if a driller is denied a permit, that is appealable.
But the residents in the immediate area or your community has no right of appeal.
That's correct. Monroe Falls attempted such an appeal 2 years ago, and after doing so, the law changed the next year to eliminate the ability of those opposed to the granting of a permit to be able to administratively appeal.
I think we're familiar with that.
And your opponent will say that the fact that the statute does not give municipalities the authority to regulate as far as zoning goes. What do you say to that? I know you're saying that the statute doesn't prohibit or doesn't take away the zoning rights of municipalities. What do you say to the comment that in conjunction with the sole and exclusive authority to regulate location, et cetera, there's nothing here that says, and municipalities may also uphold their zoning regulations?
The statute doesn't need to say that because the cities have organic authority under the Home Rule Amendment to legislate as they please unless it's in conflict with a general law on the same subject matter. And that's the argument here, is that this reference to exclusive authority for location and spacing is enough to preempt local zoning, even though it doesn't say that in the statute. So that's what troubles us in that regard. I see I'm well beyond my time. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Keller.
Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, John Keller for Appalese, Joe Willingham, and Beck Energy. and we would reserve half of our time for the deputy Ohio solicitor. Several years ago, Appley Willingham, his wife and their neighbors contracted with Beck Energy to develop the minerals underneath their property. Having secured those property rights, Beck Energy went to the state and applied for and secured a permit to drill a well at a specific location specified by GPS coordinates. This is the right to drill a well at this particular spot on the surface of the earth.
Is there any notice to neighbors when such an application is made?
Yes, both to the neighbors and to the local municipality.
And is there any right of appeal of the granting of a permit?
There is not a administrative right to appeal the grant of a permit. In this situation, the remedy that the municipalities have is a political remedy to the legislature, who has decided these
things. So there is... this is a pretty important permitting process. So unlike, for example, the location of windmills, which goes through the Power Siting Commission, there is just, for those who object, there's no place to go.
The general...
The political solution. But in terms of courts, there's no access to courts, period, right?
Because the General Assembly decided in 2004 to give the state the sole and exclusive authority
to be God in this case, right?
Pardon?
To be God. The Director of Natural Resources is God in this case.
In the state of Ohio, the modern regulation of oil and gas drilling began in the early 1960s. During the 60s and 70s, it was in fact a dual set of regulations. Local officials and state officials both had the right to permit that. In the 1980s and 90s, the law was changed so that municipalities had the right to regulate oil and gas developing, but counties and townships did not. Based upon the experience from that process, in 2004, the state decided to have a uniform energy policy and has enacted the new law that says the state has the sole and exclusive authority to determine permitting and location. That was a conscious decision by the General Assembly to eliminate the dual regulation as to the location.
Council, isn't it true though that if we're going to do an historical analysis, that home rule goes back to 1803? And I guess the problem I have is, what are the outer limits by your theory of the state to preempt municipalities to govern their land? For example, if there is the belief that there is a heroin epidemic in Ohio, wouldn't it just be better for us to tell the state patrol to take over all police duties? They're certainly better suited to handle this big statewide problem. Where does home rule compete with the Ohio Constitution in your theory?
In our theory, Your Honor, both the Article 18, Section 3, and the pronouncement of the General Assembly in Chapter 1509, and the prior pronouncements of this court, set forth a clear and consistent procedure that's followed. With respect to the issues we have in front of us, you know, since the Canton decision of this court in 2002, by my count, there are at least eight home rule decisions of this court which follow a consistent procedure and analysis. And if you follow that procedure and analysis, in this case, it leads to affirmance of the Court of Appeals decision. In Monroe Falls, the zoning regulations are found in Chapter 11 of their codified ordinances. There is nothing in the Constitution, in the state statutes, or in the prior jurisprudence of this court that distinguishes between the right of the city to enforce Article 11 of their ordinances with Article 10 or 9 or 12 or 13.
I understand that, Council, but my question is, what are the outside limits Monroe Falls said that this particular site is a residential neighborhood. And the Ohio Department of Natural Resources said, that's fine. That's where we're going to put an oil and gas well, in your residential neighborhood, and your home rule zoning no longer affects that lot.
And that was a conscious decision of the General Assembly with full knowledge of the prior jurisprudence of this court construing the Home Rule Amendment.
But there's nothing that says that municipalities do not have zoning authority in this statute. And there are other statutes where that has been the case. So, I mean, you may have the first step toward preemption with respect to the exclusive right to regulate the wells and so on, but you don't have the section of the statute that says, and there will be no zoning authority of the municipalities.
Your Honor, respectfully, we do not believe that was necessary. We believe it would be difficult to find stronger language as expressed by the General Assembly beyond the sole and exclusive authority language that the General Assembly chose to use. In 2004, when that language was enacted, the jurisprudence from this court made it clear that conflicting municipal ordinances were unenforceable.
On the same subject matter.
With respect to the general law of Ohio.
Well, you ascribe more clarity to our decisions in the home rule area than I think is fair or appropriate. I mean, going back decades, it's a checkered past, and Justice O'Donnell at one point was going to straighten it all out, and I think threw his hands in the air. And I think the fairest thing to say about it's a case-by-case, problem-by-problem resolution, and continuity. It's a stretch to say there's great continuity in our home rule.
Your Honor, while the facts differ, the analysis by the court has been consistent since the Canton decision in 2002. Mm-hmm. And we believe that analysis and that process leads this court to affirm.
Well, let me ask you, there are huge, valid, competing interests here, and there's a lot of money floating around. And when we're talking about oil and gas and talking about legislation or anything else, and it's, we read about it all the time, the governor can't even get what he thinks is an appropriate extraction fee through the legislature. But the question that I have, there's a reference to, and I'm just unfamiliar with the department apparently has developed some permitting guidelines or whatever it is that apply to developed areas as opposed to rural areas. Does that mean that it is that we can be comfortable under those guidelines that you don't drop an oil well in the middle of town?
Your Honor, the starting place first about drilling a well in the center of town, first of all, the property owners have to voluntarily agree in a large enough area to...
Well, if there's enough money involved, the property owners are going to agree to almost anything.
And the state...
The history back in the 60s, I think the legislature got involved when somebody got one of the local schools up in Morrow County to put an oil well on third base. That's when the legislature said, maybe we ought to take a look at this.
Following the enactment of this statute in 2004, the division enacted an extensive set of rules and regulations dealing with drilling in what are called urban areas. This particular permit had dozens of special conditions addressing that. Before granting a permit, the state has a site meeting at which the local officials, in this case the mayor of Monroe Falls, attend, provide their local input. With the court's permission, I would like to yield the balance of my time to the deputy solicitor.
Are there other wells located in residential areas in this city?
Yes, there are, and by looking at the zoning map published by Monroe Falls, the only industrially zoned area where a well could be allowed is a little corner which is part of the Kent State Airport. That is a not particularly good place to erect oil derricks.
But your representation is that there are other oil and gas wells in residential zoned areas, yes, in Monroe Falls.
Yes. Thank you.
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court. In our view, this case presents the narrow question whether a municipality can require someone to get a local permit to do something that a comprehensive state permit has already authorized.
Isn't it about whether or not the proposed project complies with zoning? I would concede to you, to the extent that this community has a set of ordinances relating to oil wells or to drilling, those probably are in direct conflict. But zoning is an entirely different matter from of where is the proper location, even in an area that's on zone. There are different criteria in play there in terms of determining where to drill a well.
We don't think that this case requires the court to say anything about local zoning authority over oil and gas drilling, and here's why. The city's complaint does not allege that this would be in a zoning district where oil and gas activities are prohibited. Instead, the city's complaint, and this is at paragraph 13, says that Beck Energy failed to get a local permit, a local oil and gas drilling permit, and it is a well-established principle of home rule law going back more than 50 years.
So we leave the zoning question for another day then and just say there are ordinances that appear to regulate to be in the same wheelhouse as the state regulations as to putting holes in the ground for the purpose of drawing up natural resources.
Yes, Your Honor, we think that would be the appropriate resolution of this case based on how the city pled the case in the trial court.
But, I mean, isn't that the huge question that needs to be answered?
It may be the
zoning question.
It may be a question that needs to be answered someday, but we don't think this case properly presents it. As the plaintiff, the city had an opportunity to plead that as an issue in this case, and it didn't do so. Instead, it pled this case about saying that it could impose a local permitting requirement over oil and gas drilling on top of the state's comprehensive oil and gas permit.
But that's not those aren't the propositions we accepted. And this is a case that has been heavily briefed with amici on both sides. So it seems to me that this would be the appropriate case to answer these questions.
Your Honor, I think that the first proposition, which relates to Monroe Falls Ordinance 1163-02, is not a separate ordinance that stands alone from the oil and gas drilling ordinances. We know that 1163-02 comes in only because Monroe Falls has an ordinance entitled Permit Required, that's 1329-03, that says you must get one of these conditional zoning certificates in order to drill an oil and gas well. So 1163-02, the subject of Proposition 1, only comes in as part of the city's oil and gas drilling permitting scheme. And so we think that the appropriate resolution of this case is to ask, can the city enact a local drilling scheme on top of the state's permitting scheme?
Well, Council, you're inviting us to sidestep the important issue. So I'm not prepared to buy into that. So let me take you to the issue. Is there no appropriate place for local zoning to have an interplay or to require that it be complied with, as long as it's reasonable, as long as it doesn't exclude, because when we're talking zoning, we're also talking townships, although they don't have the same home rule constitutional protections.
Your Honor, we think that local zoning ordinances trying to restrict oil and gas drilling to particular zones would conflict with the state law.
So the position of the state of Ohio through the Attorney General is local zoning has no place in the regulation of oil and gas drilling in this state.
Yes, Your Honor, and if I could, I'd like to make two brief points on that. First, Revised Code Section 150902 states that the Division of Oil and Gas Resources Management has the sole and exclusive authority to regulate location. And since zoning ordinances...
And is there no appeal?
There is no appeal, but there is a judicial remedy here. Throughout Chapter 1509, the statute uses the chief shall language. And so if the chief has failed to do something, most particularly protect against health and safety, an objecting resident could bring a mandamus action against the chief, either to deny the permit or to impose additional conditions on a permit to ensure health and safety. So there is a judicial remedy, not merely the legislative remedy, which is also a powerful one.
So you're saying there's no need for a statute to specifically negate the home rule authority for zoning?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Even though we have other statutes that have actually done that.
That's true. But this court has never said that there's sort of a clear statement rule when it comes to zoning, that the legislature must use that sort of language. The court has said that that's enough to conflict with local zoning, but the court's never said that that's required. I'd like to make the second point about why the court shouldn't be concerned about preemption of local zoning, and that's because Revised Code Chapter 1509 is comprehensive and it's unlikely to place an oil and gas well in a dense residential area. So consider some of the things that 1509 regulates.
Is this well in a dense residential area?
This is a medium density residential area, as I understand it. The property has a large setback, and this well would be set back far from the road and away from any houses.
Well, how do you define far?
I don't know the exact distance, Your Honor.
How big's the property?
I think it's about 4 or 5 acres, and it's toward the back end of that lot away from the road.
And what's behind this property?
Behind the property is a railroad property owned by CSX Transportation.
Right, but what's on the other side of the railroad?
A river. So there, it's.
Well, I know that, but what's on the other side of the river?
At some point, there are houses again, but it's, again, railroad, river, and then property. It's set back well more than anything behind that well would be set back well more than 500 feet.
Counsel, I guess I'm misunderstanding what you're saying on behalf of the state of Ohio. Let's say it's not loosely spaced houses. Let's talk about Shaker Heights, Ohio, where people have a quarter of an acre. By this statute, as near as I can tell, if ODNR says we're going to start drilling in the residential neighborhood of Shaker Heights, the municipality of Shaker Heights has nothing to say about that. Is that your position?
Yes, Your Honor, as a legal matter, but as a practical matter, it would be unlikely for a well to go in there.
We're in the Supreme Court of Ohio. I don't care about practical matters. As a legal matter, you're saying that this statute would permit a driller to go into Shaker Heights, and if they convinced ODNR there was money in it for everybody, it would be full speed ahead.
I'm not sure it would be full speed ahead. There would still be several requirements that the driller would need to satisfy. So, for example, there would need to be certain setbacks from other buildings. There would need to be setbacks from other wells. There's fencing requirements, and one of the most important requirements is about drilling units. So to drill a well of this depth, just shy of 4,000 feet, a driller would need to cobble together a drilling unit of 20 acres, which means it would need to get people owning up to 20 acres or more of land all to agree that they can drill there. So in Shaker Heights, Ohio, if you have a quarter acre lot, you're talking about 80 property owners.
Well, the railroad's right behind this property. Could the railroad say, we'll give you 20 acres of our property up and down the line, and it's all contiguous?
It's not on the record, Your Honor, but as I understand what happened here, it's the property owner, the neighbors on either side.
I don't care what happened here. I'm taking Justice O'Neill's example. If you were in Shaker Heights and the railroad was right behind the house, could they go to the railroad and say, give us 20 miles of your, or 20 acres of your right-of-way, and we're good?
I'm not sure if there are, my understanding of the drilling units is they can't be sort of a totally odd shape, so the 20 acres can't flow way up the railroad.
But we should just trust the good graces of or the citizens of Ohio, not us, in the community. Just rely on they're going to be good people at natural resources, not to worry.
Well, ODNR is absolutely committed to the health and safety of local residents, and so if there were, it's not like the
I believe department. It's the only department that we've held in contempt in my tenure here.
A different division, Your Honor, the Division of Oil and Gas Resources Management. It's run by a geologist. It's
but
populated
the council,
primarily.
That I was going to say we would be one of the few states then, one of the few states that would just say a license from the state allows you to ignore the local zoning.
Your Honor, many of the other states cited by the city have done that by legislation. So, for example, this is cited in their brief. California did it by statute. Wyoming did it by administrative rule.
But they have parallel systems, do they not?
They do have parallel systems, but that's by choice of the legislature,
and
not by...
Arguably, depending on how we interpret this statute, it could be the same here. I mean, there's nothing that would prevent, as a policy matter, that would prevent the oil and gas industry from working both with ODNR to get the license and then with the localities to follow their zoning requirements, correct?
As a policy matter, that's absolutely correct. As a legal matter, we think that the word sole and exclusive right to regulate location means that that's not the right legal determination.
Well, you still have the Constitution to deal with, or we have to at least.
That's absolutely right, and the court just needs to decide whether the local permitting scheme here conflicts with Chapter 1509. We think it does, and that the court should affirm the judgment below.
Counsel, if we can stick just with one point for a second, we're not just talking about that one statute, and we're not just relying on the good graces of the people at DNR. Do we not have a statutory scheme for all of these different regulations that relate to fencing and setback? That's in statute, is it not?
Yes, there's a comprehensive statute, Revised Code, Chapter 1509. There are also comprehensive rules, Chapter 150191, as well as the site-specific terms and conditions that ODNR places on these wells. So it's not a simple permit that's easy to get. You have to comply with substantial regulations.
Can we call it a general law when it applies only to half the state?
We think so, Your Honor, and 2 points on that. First of all, we think that the general law question has been waived by not being raised below. The city conceded at page 13 of its trial court brief and page 17 of its appeals court brief that this statute applies uniformly across the state. But second, we don't think that this court has ever laid down a rule that says that if a law as a practical matter affects only part of the state, that if there's a geographically disparate impact, that it's not uniform. Instead,
it does not apply uniformly. You're saying that's not in our former cases?
We don't think so, Your Honor, and we also don't think that that's what's going on here. Anyone who wants to drill anywhere in the state, any of the 88 counties, would have to go through the exact same uniform process. And what this court has said in 3 cases, Marich versus Bob Bennett Construction Company, In Re Complaint of City of Reynoldsburg, and pardon me, Your Honor, and AFSA, in all 3 of those cases, the court said that if there's a uniform process that everyone has to go through, that the statute applies uniformly, even if in some cases it has disparate outcomes. So we think that those 3 cases establish the principle that we're advocating on the uniformity prong, which again we believe is waived.
And if we got to that point and looked at the conflict, we'd have to see if the ordinance forbade what was allowed, or conversely, correct on the conflict situation?
That's right, and we think there's 2 sorts of conflicts here. One is that there's a state permit versus a local permit, which the court in 4 cases cited on pages 20 to 22 of our brief says that the local permit must fall in that case. There's also several particulars of the Monroe Falls Ordinance that conflict with particulars of state law. They try to impose liability insurance and surety bond requirements when the state already does that. They try to impose a permit fee when the state already does that. They also regulate spacing from other buildings, spacing from other wells, landscaping, fencing, all sorts of things that are already in Chapter 1509, so that we believe that those conflict on their particulars, and that's why the court below should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Houlihan, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
I'd like to make a couple quick points. First of all, we've heard that the ODNR considers local input and that the mayor attended a site review and that a mandamus remedy is available if the ODNR doesn't act according to their mandate. I want to point out what the ODNR standard for granting an oil and gas permit actually is. The ODNR must grant a permit unless it can be demonstrated that there is an imminent danger to public health or safety or damage to the environment, and those dangers have not been addressed by placement of conditions on the permit. That's revised code 1509-06F. So even if they do collect some information from the mayor at a site review, they do not have the power to deny a permit based upon zoning considerations. And if a litigant tries to take that standard to court in a mandamus action, it's going to be impossible for the litigant to prove that the director of the division should have denied a permit. So there is no real mandamus remedy here.
Well, they would have to bring forth the failure to provide for the health and welfare and the other considerations that are mandated.
Right, but the...
I'm merely saying we don't want a well here. But, there have to be the allegation that it violates some other, some other reason, that there has to be... a danger that is posed, et cetera.
That's correct, Your Honor. But what we just heard was that there was local input gathered from the site review process, and if the city was displeased, a mandamus action could be brought. But when you look at what the...
Based on certain factors, not just a general mandamus, just to bring the mandamus. With all mandamus actions, there has to be a strong foundation and showing a breach by the individual that is charged with the action.
Correct.
With the duty to act.
And since the director of the division does not have the authority to deny a permit based upon zoning considerations, that is a meaningless remedy, the mandamus remedy proposed by...
Well, I don't think that I heard that they said if there is a zoning disagreement, get a mandamus action. I think it's based on the criteria that has to be taken into consideration and the failure of the chief to take that criteria into consideration and testimony... addressing that failure, that would open the door for a mandamus action, but not merely because we have a zoning ordinance that doesn't permit this.
And what Your Honor has captured is exactly the point I was trying to make. I didn't want the court to be left with the impression that there was a mandamus remedy available for cities.
I don't think we got that impression.
Okay, thank you. One final point. We also heard that this is a comprehensive oil and gas statute mm-hmm. that covers all aspects of oil and gas drilling. I want to remind the court of what this court did a month ago in the 2014 Cleveland versus State case. That was the tow truck case where the court considered whether or not the inclusion of tow trucks in the PUCO regulations, also a comprehensive statewide concern, meant that the city of Cleveland could not also legislate in the same area. And what this court found was that even though the PUCO's regulations were comprehensive, there may be areas in which the PUCO has not regulated. And it's enough to say, this is a quote from the case, that municipalities may supplement state law in these unregulated areas.
What areas have not been regulated through this alleged comprehensive statutory scheme in Chapter 1509?
Well, here's an example. If, for example, right now there is no notice given to the city of when drilling is going to commence on a particular site. If there was a ordinance that said the fire chief's entitled 48 hours notice before the drilling is going to commence, that way the fire chief could have the safety forces ready and aware that drilling is going on, that would not be in conflict with anything. Now, I know the Ninth District found conflicts with the existing statutes, but this court's got to look at, or existing ordinances of Monroe Falls, this court has to look at other cities, other ordinances that may exist, and I would urge the court not to preempt the entire field of zoning or supplemental regulation based upon a
conflict. If we just preempted location, that would still allow for things like you just mentioned, where there'd have to be a notice within a reasonable time to the fire department and to the city streets or whomever would be concerned with the traffic, et cetera.
Well, the there are ordinances that Monroe Falls has on the books currently that the state has taken exception to. They pointed out in the brief that we don't allow two different wells to be drilled at the same time by the same driller. If we get to that point in the analysis, we probably lose on that. But there are other things we could regulate, other supplemental issues.
You just don't want to be foreclosed from the process.
Correct, Your Honor.
And that's the position the state is taking right now.
That's correct, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decisions. Thank you, gentlemen.